Welcome to a special edition of College Crosscast. I'm Ryan, joined by Safe and Jake. And Safe and Chris came out with another episode just yesterday, so, you know, it's been a while, but sometimes something comes along that warrants a podcast episode the moment it comes out. So...
Emergency pod.
Yes. So in the November 2020 issue of the Atlantic, not to be confused with The Athletic, they came out with an article titled "The Mad, Mad World of Niche Sports Among Ivy League Obsessed Parents." So it's your usual run-of-the-mill millionaires trying to get into really prestigious schools, notably the Ivy League schools, through sports that not many other people play. Of course, because this is highbrow journalism, they bring lacrosse into the mud. But yeah, it's your general run-of-the-mill of, oh boy, the millionaires trying to get into these prestigious schools through athletics because they can't do it through academics. And, oh no, COVID-19 happened, so what are we going to do? It's an interesting read, but it's probably the same as the other 50, rich people sports type of articles. That is until it comes to quoting people about lacrosse. Then it unintentionally becomes the most hilarious lacrosse article in probably the past decade.
I can't nothing comes to mind that has made me laugh as much as this has.
Sorry, Jake.
Like, Safe shared this with us in our DMs. I'm scrolling through right now. Cause like, you know, I was just going about my evening watching the football game. I shared this 45 minutes ago, and I have not stopped laughing since.
Like, shout out to Ruth Barrett, the author of this article. So
she should get a Pulitzer for this. This is
so.
This is incredible.
Yeah, again, it's not unlike the 50 other articles you hear about rich parents or critiquing about how Ivy League and other prestigious schools use their athletic programs to, in really niche sports, to try and get more white people in, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, then the quotes come. Where should we begin?
Well, I guess we'll go chronologically as we worked our way through it. Because, I mean, like, it gets progressively more hilarious, and the content gets progressively better, but even just the first stuff where, I'll share.
Yeah, and I was, we can lay out some context for the audience. Two-thirds of this article is, like, probably, like, non-lacrosse related, but there's the middle portion really focuses on lacrosse, but they do hit on a lot of the topics that we've been discussing for, you know, the five, 6 years that we've been doing this pod, namely that, yes, a lot of these schools add these niche sports because their parents, you know, can pay the full rate. And there's like a line that's essentially saying exactly that. And there's one section, this also applies to lacrosse, that the number of schools that are added water polo in the last 10 years has grown, hasn't been that much growth in the number of spots, but the number of high schools having lacrosse and number of water polo and the number of students playing water polo has grown dramatically. And so, like, they have these athletic directors in Division II and Division III thinking of adding water polo because of exactly what we've been saying, like, there's no scholarships in Division III, at least, and you'll have parents who are willing to pay $50,000 to go to, you know, Middlebury or Amherst if they don't already have water polo. So, but the stuff about lacrosse is kind of just, for content reasons, it's just amazing. I think that's what we want to talk about. Yeah, this article is well worth the read, and some of the lines from some of these parents, it's just been tremendous.
Yeah, so again, this is unintentional hilarity. This is totally dead-faced, serious article, and by no means any knock on Ruth Barrett's reporting. She did a great job with it. This is 100% unintentional hilarity.
I would have loved if she had a video of her face as she's hearing these quotes, you know, being read to her, like, as she probably like triple checked to make sure that the recording button was on at the time.
All right. So this is not necessarily going to be chronologically in the article. It's when we discovered various pieces of gold.
So we start with this one parent claims that she feels hoodwinked by the directors of her son's, her son's club lacrosse program, which happily stokes her fantasies while stockpiling her money, $10,000 a year for 11 years. Mm. Which is just, I mean, for us, it's like grotesque. For this woman, I'm sure it's like nothing. They were talking Notre Dame for him, she said. Our eyes were glistening. We went to 16 showcases last year. I can't believe the money we spent to see our son rejected 16 times.
Then what follows up with her kids...
Jake, do the stallion line.
Yeah, Jake, you need to read this one.
Ryan, go ahead. I know you were going to do it. So okay. This is where it
goes. Oh, yeah, sorry. Please, Ryan.
Her kid just completed his freshman year at a not-so-fancy college in the South, and according to his mom, he's happy enough. But she feels bitter and wonders if her younger boy should quit club lacrosse. So, mind you, he's not a club lacrosse team, not a varsity lacrosse team. The guys who get recruited to the Ivies, it turns out these guys are beasts, she said. I saw them at showcases. They were like stallions.
Amazing. First thing that came to my mind when I read that line was there was an old Dave Chappelle clip where he was talking about, police brutality of like African Americans, and he was like, imitating someone that's upper or middle class wealthy person who's reading Newsweek, and he goes like, he's like, honey, have you read this? He's like, the police are beating African Americans like hotcakes. It's like, I just read it in Newsweek, and it's just like kind of like that realization, for this mother's realization that the kids are getting recruited at the top 10, 15 schools, the Ivy League schools, just maybe essentially like superhuman athletes was, found discovery.
Yeah, like she's just discovering the Ivy League actually cares about putting in an effort in lacrosse. And Yale kind of won the national title 2 years ago.
Well, that's the thing. It's like funny. It's like, okay, I'm not saying like this mom should be like watching like Memorial Day lacrosse and be like, oh wow, Yale's a big team. But one, it is kind of funny that like literally all you heard for like the last 3 years of lacrosse is Quint going, Yale, when they get off the bus, man, they scare you.
But like, would it? Do you think in the 11 years that you have your son in club lacrosse that someone would mention, hey, Yale's been up and coming and...
Well, no, but it's like how do you spend 11 years watching your kid go through this course and then, like, I don't know, once you get to, like, I don't know, late middle school, early high school, not realize, huh, my kid is not as big as the other kids. Like, do you not notice at some point that, like, I'm picturing like an interaction with like her husband. She's like, honey, our Richie really isn't as athletic as those other kids. Oh, sweetie, it's okay. It's not football or anything.
After 6 summers of doing this, do you not realize that your son's a scrub?
I just went on the Yale 2020 roster page and sorted it by height. And there's 21 guys or 28 guys over 6 feet and at least 8 over 6'2 and above. The weight too, but there's a ton of like at least 6'1. But yeah, let me just do weight real quick. But sorry, I know this is horrible radio here, but yeah, 175, 185. But then like the last 2/3 of them are all 200 pounds and above, and it's over 6 foot.
Like, seriously, like, I'm just imagining this, but like, my mom look like watching Sergio Berkovic types just like run by her kids and like deciding, you know what, that's fine, another 10,000 to the pile.
That's all right, we got the money, we can bribe them. It works for the squash teams and fencing teams. Sure, it'll work for lacrosse, right?
I mean, Benny Reeves from Yale looked like he's like chiseled from marble, 6'2", 205 pounds. Like, yeah, like Yale gets to pick, you know, the cream of the crop. So, you know, some of the athletes are going to be superhuman.
All we've been hearing for like the last, like, I don't follow high school lacrosse like super duper closely. I mean, like, I'll follow like the recruiting ranking stuff, but I ain't like watching, you know, high school games, and I don't like go to camps or whatever. I don't think none of us do. But it's like all we've been hearing since like 2013, which is like 7 years, is that when Miles Jones showed up, it's like there are a lot of dudes out there like this guy. It's like this is all that's happening now. It's just these huge athletic guys who like could play football are out here playing lacrosse. And it's like this mom apparently has just spent $70,000 in these last 7 years, not realizing that her kids cannot match up athletically with these.
Spending $110,000 and not realizing this direction of the sport. Just incredible.
Don't you, like, you just don't see it like over time. Like, oh, that kid who was playing with my son last year just grew 6 inches. My son grew one. Like that's just
they were talking Notre Dame for him. Like, yeah, club lacrosse is a racket, but it's like, man,
like, yeah, like it's a complete like just scheme. It's a, like a borderline, you know, multi-level marketing scheme,
Ponzi scheme a little bit. Yeah. You definitely get like a Ponzi scheme, the Big Short feel. Whenever we talk about club lacrosse,
the coach just being like, yeah, just give me a little more. Well, you know, we'll get there. Like, you're 5 years in, he's like, if you just give me $10,000 for another year, I'll get your son to the next level.
It's like the Bob's Burgers baseball episode with the coach saying, I'll make your son hit home runs, and then they go to it, and it's just, imagine the baseball.
But yeah, like, it's the idea that, like, this woman just, like, has never at any point realized that, like, there's these dudes are just huge, and that, you're actually in a really, you know, athletic sport.
Or like, she realized it when she was at the showcases, but didn't realize the implication until after her kid didn't get in. Exactly. So she's at the showcases seeing these kids that are, quote-unquote, beasts and stallions. Stallions. I love that line. I need to incorporate that more often in my life. But she's like, yeah, it's like, it turns out that the people recruited at the Ivies are beasts. So I saw them at showcases that were like stallions. I was like, that probably would have been my first clue. You know what I mean?
Like, might have been a sign.
Getting rejected 16 times in 16 showcases. You would think you would get the hint by the fifth one.
It's the stallions just like line just makes it like peak wine mom. Like just the subtle the subtle weird implication that she's kind of attracted to these kids. They're beasts. They're stallions.
Their muscles glistening in the sun. Yeah.
Totally own at least two thoroughbreds that ran at Aqueduct.
It just ups it to like a different level. Like the implication below the surface just adds it to another level.
And it's totally different from like my mom. Oh, we're gonna, you know, this is a safe space so I could share this hilarious story from my life. I was like a sophomore in high school, never played soccer ever, and they like needed, you know, kids, I guess, a couple injuries. So I got the permission slip and I gave it to my mom. I was like, hey, you know, they're looking for people to join like the JV soccer team and I need you to sign this. She looked at the paper, looked at me, and literally laughed in my face. And I'm not like kidding, literally laughed in my face. And she's like, what do you know about soccer? What are you talking about? I'm not going to sign this. And I was like, devastated. I was like, are you kidding me? She's like, no. She's like, these guys are really good. They've been playing their whole lives. You're going to, like, essentially, you're going to embarrass yourself. So there goes my dream of joining the, you know, Olympic or World Cup soccer for USA. But yeah, you know, refugee moms would have, you know, probably told these kids the truth, like, $20,000 in before you drop the other $90,000.
Immigrant parents would just be completely different. The immigrant parents would be looking at the like the 6'2", 200 pound guys and being like, you know, well, why is your shooting motion so crap?
Exactly.
What the immigrant parents? Yeah, it's just the level of expectation.
But it gets better, this article.
All right.
Can I do the last one?
Yes, go ahead.
So, right, essentially, paragraph is two below the Stallions line. You get this section where it says, starts with a little bit long, but I'll just say. So, amid the shifting norms, there's a growing sense of unease among suburban parents in niche sports hubs, a dread that they went too far, failed to read the room. And they're not wrong. This is from Lars, quote unquote. It's easy to stereotype the Fairfield County player, says Lars Tiffany, the men's varsity lacrosse coach at the University of Virginia. The Fairfield County player is the rich kid who still has his umbilical cord connected. The kid who doesn't really have to take ownership of his mistakes or actions. Tiffany insists he doesn't buy into such broad brush stereotypes. We try not to care where they're from, and yet if they're from a hotbed, there's an expectation level. Really kind of, I mean, I think he was both trying to downplay the stereotype and highlight it, but like essentially stating that, you know, Connecticut players are all like, you know, umbilical cord connected.
Umbilical cord connected is
just incredible.
Incredible line.
Yeah.
Boy, that's going to help recruiting.
Because you could have just been like, it's easy to stereotype the Fairfield County player, period. End of sentence. And then go to, we try not to care about where they're from.
But if they're a hard-nosed blue-collar player, that's okay by us. Nope. Took that in a different direction.
It's easy to stereotype these players. You know, not all of them are exactly what you're saying, Ryan. You know, silver spoon-fed players. You know, we got a lot of gritty players from, you know, Connecticut. Just going in like that about, like, essentially, like, showing us what the stereotype is in no one's certain terms.
I love the Tiffany insists he doesn't buy in. It's like, well, man, you said it. it's like a different version of the not that there's anything wrong with that thing from Seinfeld.
Exactly.
It's like, I mean I didn't say that they were like entitled. I mean, you said it.
Like, you could say that, like, oh, lax hotbeds in general, well, upstate New York is all working class and they're playing lacrosse, and Nassau County on Long Island, it's everyone plays lacrosse, whether you're a rich school, poor school, doesn't matter, they play. No, it's like, now I'm just going to single out the area you were talking about, and I'm going to tell you, yeah, they have that stereotype, including some of my guys.
And then it's like, that's not my opinion. That's just what some people say.
That's what I've heard. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I don't want to cause a rift in my locker room, but
not that I agree with that. But I'm also going to give you this incredibly specific detail.
Very well detailed. Exactly.
An umbilical cord.
It's like Lars having to like tell you how smart he is. Like, he notices that this is like the Atlantic. It's like, oh wow. This isn't my everyday ordinary interview.
Yeah, this is real highbrow.
He's realizing that, like, his, you know, Fox intelligent vibe that he gives off to lacrosse reporters who will just like fawn all over it. He's like, this ain't gonna quite fly with this, like, a legitimate reporter. So I'm gonna come up with this incredible line about them still having the umbilical cord connected. But then again, stressing, not that's not what he believes. That's just what he's heard.
Just
that was hilarious. And Michael Krause is from like Watertown, Connecticut or whatever. It's like the most important player Mars Tiffany had.
Next paragraph to dissect. Before the pandemic, determined lacrosse families from New Canaan, Greenwich, and Darien, shout out to a friend of the pod, Dan Arista. He's from Darien, but I'm sure he's not one of these that are being talked about here. And had put their heads together to try and to address the dearth of college lacrosse spots with a twist on Sheridan's approach to water polo. Pardon me, I'm choking on water because of how much hilarious, unintentional hilarity this has. Their inspiration, the JetBlue founder and New Canaan resident David Nealman, whose $15.6 million donation helped establish a Division I lacrosse team at the University of Utah. His son, Seth, is a star defender and team captain. We've been looking into what the ticket price to start a men's varsity lacrosse program at Stanford, one parent told me. We could create lacrosse at Stanford with $20 million. if we could just find $20 million, we can make this work.
It's just amazing. So, if I had $100 million, I may have a chance with Keira Knightley. I just need to get that $100 million first.
I love the idea that, like this is the thing they're, like, spending their money on. It's like, if you just gave me $20 million, I'd go start a lacrosse program. All right. I guess.
And then the Sheridan, that Ryan mentioned at the beginning of the quote, the guy is he's the commissioner of Collegiate Water Polo Association. And that's where, at the beginning, where I was saying, like, you know, you have a dearth of spots in the Division I level. So Sheridan has been trying to, like, entice Division II and Division III schools to get, add water polo to their roster of sports. And he said, you know, I got a few bites, quote unquote. They can see that the families will pay full freight. For tuition-driven schools, adding water polo can actually be a revenue increase. What's great is the water polo athletes tend to graduate at a much higher level. Then the author essentially proposes, you know, to a water polo parent in Stamford, Connecticut, sharing Sheridan's line, that parents need to open up their minds. They're not likely to be excited about Millersville University or Bloomsburg as Penn or Columbia. I get that. But that's something that these families will have to come to grips with. And then Miss Barrett proposes that to a Stanford water polo mom. She doesn't name her because this line is amazing. Quote unquote, "Sorry, but there's no way in hell," said the water polo mom from Stanford.
It gets better.
Yeah. Well, quote unquote, what parent wants to have a child who's going to be playing for a bottom-tier school with bottom-tier academics in the armpit of the United States? I want to be polite, but there's no way in hell. Amazing.
I want to be polite, but...
I'm trying my best here to be polite, Miss Barrett, but the truth is...
No way in hell!
As he opens up the cork of... bottle number two of her Merlot bottle number two.
And I love the idea that, like, the last 4 years, that don't read anything more into this than just what I'm saying to you right now. The last 4 years of the United States has been, like, some existential crisis about, like, culture and whether or not we're, like, you know, actually realizing all the, you know, people around us in this big country. And then this woman's, who I'm guessing lives in, like, friggin' Palo Alto or something, or, you know, some, like, Silicon Valley, is just, like...
Stanford in Connecticut. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, she's in Connecticut? Okay. It's just the same place, but just colder, rainier, and on the East Coast. It's just like, Pennsylvania? Where the hell is that?
I don't want my son to show up to the middle of bumbleep nowhere, Pennsylvania. I-80's boring as hell. Why would I ever be caught driving on I-80 for anything besides my alma mater, Michigan, beating Penn State in football?
Like, you want me to go to... You think my kid should go to the rural areas? Flyover country?
I took my son to a college visit to Cornell, and oh no, sir, that was too rural for me. I'm not having my kid go there, and that's why I sent him to Stanford, because it was either that, Columbia, or Penn, or nowhere at all.
That's like,
which makes me actually appreciate that lacrosse mom that we talked about with Stallions, because she at least has some, you know, sense of, like,
awareness.
Yeah, exactly. She kind of understood, you know, the way of the world a little bit, you know, and it's kind of a little bit self-deprecating humor there. But the arrogance and disdain from the water polo mom was just really a sight to behold.
It's incredible. Like, just the, like, it, like, just distills, like, everything you could imagine about someone like that down to one graph. Imagine that be there. And it's perfect.
But I want to be polite, though, Jake.
I know you live in a place that, like, might not have a coffee shop within, like, 2 blocks of you, or you haven't attended boating parties with me and my friends where the Kennedys used to go to. So I understand, like, your plight and how terrible life must be for you, but still.
Do they even have quinoa at any of the local establishments? Like, what am I going to eat when I go visit?
What are the odds this mother complained that her child had to settle for Stanford and not get into Harvard or Yale?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Or like, or better yet, like, he's like, Mom, I got into a state school. A state school?
With all the like Berkeley or UCLA. Great, great, wonderful schools. And she's just like burning the admission letter.
Yeah. You want to go to Berkeley? Those people smell.
Do you see what they do all day?
Like, no child of mine is going to Michigan. That's for sure.
I just said that the mother's an alma mater of his University Michigan, of Michigan. Yeah, the Michigan men and Michigan women. Oh, they're up there with private school people.
Yeah, because Michigan is apparently the one, to them, Michigan's the one state school that actually, like, is not, Gerald went here.
Oh, it starts right there. First paragraph, there's a tennis mom, and she's saying, like, how hard, you know, her child needs to work because, quote unquote, she needs, this is the end of the first paragraph, she needs at least a 5.0 rating or she's going to Ohio State, Sloan told me. She laughed. She laughed. I don't mean to throw Ohio State under the bus. It's an amazing school with amazing school spirit.
I don't mean to throw Ohio State down under the bus, but I'm going to throw Ohio State under the bus.
That's what makes it so good. It's this, like, the subtle implication that I'm really being nice to you. It's not your fault I'm superior. That's what makes it so perfect.
And then we get another great line. Who wants to go with this one? Because this one might get us excommunicated from other lacrosse media outlets.
I mean, we don't need to.
Jake?
Are we doing this one?
Let's skip it. I mean, like, we could talk about the idea. Like, we don't need to dunk on anyone.
Okay.
Yeah. The pandemic hit the high school class of 2021 quickest and hardest. Student athletes struggled to process it all as their college plans blew up and their beloved squash courts were redefined as boxes of super spread, their fields blocked by yellow police tape. I lost my job, for the record. They'll always wonder what would have happened and who they could have wowed, inside lacrosse CEO Terry Foy told me, referring to the high school seniors, to have that opportunity lost. His voice trailed off before he picked up again mournfully. The kid who would have gone to Yale now goes to Georgetown. The kid who would have gone to Georgetown now goes to Loyola, on and on, and then eventually you get down to Wentworth, and then you just don't play college sports.
Definitely, you know, definitely tough on Wentworth.
It's just, there's a lot there. Like, I...
Yeah, we're not going to go too in-depth with it, but do your own research.
Yeah.
I mean... there's a lot of content there.
There's a lot to dissect there that we are not going to get onto because
yeah,
Terry is a good member of the lacrosse media family, so we're not going to throw him under the bus. Unlike that woman who did for Ohio State.
Like, I thought, I actually thought that line was a little bit more thoughtful. Like, the Lars one was just amazing. Just like, literally dunking on, like, but I don't believe that stereotype. But, like, you know, but exceptionally well detailed.
I'm not saying Lars in the locker room, just being like, you know, some people say that.
Yeah. Some people say that some of you have a silver spoon.
Not me, for the record.
I don't, but. That other team that we're playing today, John Desco, he thinks you got a silver spoon up your ass. Let's show Desco in the orange what silver spoon we've got.
Just creating locker room material out of, like...
That's exactly, yeah. Oh, good. Or, like, that's going to be, you, Jake, and at least on football, you guys are always talking about recruiting. But, like, imagine Desco just coming into Connecticut family. And he's like, do you really want to go to Virginia? Do you really want to?
And then Desco still doesn't land him.
This is what. Man, Ryan, after this cycle, I don't think you can really be complaining about recruiting right now. Disco dunked his nuts in y'all's face.
I know, yeah, he's been doing actually a very good job for the 2022s, but I'm just saying in the stereo.
You literally just landed the number one recruit last week.
I know, yeah.
I mean, it might be more
after weeks of saying that all these Syracuse commenters on these boards are crazy that they're going to get Spallina. Like the next day, Spallina like rips open his shirt and he has a Syracuse orange like jersey underneath.
Sometimes the lax boards are correct. Maybe next time they'll be finally. Hey, they got Petromala getting fired correct for the first time in 15 years.
Yeah, if you keep saying it, you have 15 years straight.
I don't know if that was a prediction as much as just relentless wish casting.
There's always the Hofstra thread. Maybe someday they'll do something.
The Hofstra thread's great because it's just like go Hofstra. It's like it's, and then it just progressively like decreases as the season goes on.
Every year.
Every year, it just starts off, and you just realize the post just whittled down and down and lower. But no, there's just so many
you please finish. I don't want to.
No, like the consistent like from like the Lawrence quote to all the parents of like, I don't want to insult or this is not what I believe. This is just what I'm hearing. it's so good.
Then it's quite a long read, very enjoyable. But like towards the end, it definitely gets a little bit unhinged because they're talking about like the culling of certain sports at like that recently happened at Stanford and Brown that is not really financial related. So it's a little bit of a start with a direct quote. Let's be honest, there's no way Stanford's decision was financial. A Darien squash mom confided to me after the university cut the sport. I have a sinking certainty there are other strong invisible forces at work. She was referring to something the Wall Street Journal reporter Melissa Korn noted in an article in July, though it's hardly a mysterious plot. The optics, this is no longer quotes, the optics of country club staples such as squash and golf help explain why these sports are getting slashed. And this is from Korn's article. At a time when racial justice and diversity have become a more open national conversation, the sports being eliminated are the ones that tend to draw overwhelmingly white, often wealthy players. Now, I mean, that may have some truth to it, but to like
the connection being drawn there is
it definitely seems attenuated. I'm like, there is a huge pandemic going on. All these schools have to shut
loose
down.
On that.
I mean that's like
because like I get it what she's saying. Stanford has probably pointing to the endowment and everything, but like that endowment isn't like straight liquid cash, you know.
If we've learned anything from the past 6 months, it's that endowment is just a fancy number they make up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like the media for like I don't know the last 6 months is like the main the main thing everyone really cares about is like COVID. Like that's the thing affecting people's lives. And then it's like every 2 months it's like or like there's like something up that people bring up. It's like actually Americans aren't caring about coronavirus anymore. They're caring about this. And it's like
it's like every 3 weeks they care about something else, and then for 3 weeks there's another resurgence in the numbers and COVID cases, and then it's back to COVID. Repeat the cycle every.
And then this woman is like, could it possibly be that the world has been on stop for 6 months, or is it that my kid lost his sport because black people got killed by the police?
Who's to say?
Probably because of the coronavirus. just gonna take a guess.
Yeah, and like the. The anxiety that the parents feel, like, I mean, this part, I guess, is essentially the author's thesis that she was referring to back in, I believe, 1988, University of California sociologist Harry Edwards pointed out, you know, the single-minded pursuit of sports in black communities was tragic because, you know, you're putting all your eggs in basketball and football for your son or and like, you know, the possibility of them landing a scholarship or and even maybe the NBA are so limited that you're not giving them the opportunities to get, you know, full be more well-rounded student and maybe try other sports or just be, you know, straight into academics. And it's the great quote from this article by Miss Barrett is, in a twist worthy of a Jordan Peele movie, Fairfield County has come to resemble Compton in a monomaniacal focus on sports. So part of it is, we always say, is like, you know, this whole keeping up with the Joneses mentality. You know, it's not just rich people in Connecticut, something that everybody probably experienced in their life at some point. But like, I have to get my kid into Yale, Brown, you know, the Ivy, Stanford, you know, I'll throw Hopkins in there, and the other type of schools, or, you know, we're lesser than the other families, when you don't really even take a minute to think, hey, maybe my kid would just really enjoy going to University of Florida. You know, really good school, great atmosphere. It's not the Ivies, obviously, but, you know, maybe they'll enjoy it. They'll find something they really love, and they'll become, well-rounded, successful people in their own right. And like, that anxiety that the parents have is like, you know, goes on to the kids. And they're just talking about, like, you know, some of these parents who are trying to cope during the COVID, like this one fencing mom who, you know, they weren't able to have practice like normal and stuff like that. So she essentially just made, like, I don't exactly know what what they call it, you know, when they're actually fencing each other, but like a whole fencing training room in her basement with like mannequins, and essentially forcing her daughters to fence against each other. Like, the kids started to snap because like it just wasn't fun anymore. So I think that's, you know, that's something that parents need to just be aware of. You know, make sure that your dreams are not taking the place of what your kids really want, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like just the rich preening here, and like the, like, when you consider like the suffering and everything the people have lost, like I think this is like the point of the article. Like, I think like the article is like part of like, there's a veil over it of like, look at what these people are like, just look at these people, like look at what they're like focusing on. Lost their jobs and family members, and this is the biggest, you know, natural disaster the U.S. has faced in 100 years, so let's go see what the Connecticut wine moms are doing. And I mean, we've been talking about this for like 7 months. I mean, like, why is college football taking place right now, even though there's, you know, teams keep coming down with COVID, and or even in like the Big Ten starting in a week and cases are spiking in the Midwest? And it's like, well, because even colleges don't even want to tell, you know, the squash kid that they can't play. And maybe I shouldn't say even the squash kid, because, you know, the squash kid bringing in a bunch of money and, you know, tuition. But it's like, nobody wants to tell them that they can't play, you know, squash anymore. But it's still just like incredible that, you know, you see everything like that COVID has caused, and it's like, you know, I mean, it's just, and there, these people are like relitigating, you know, like just culture war stuff and their ivory tower, you know, views as their kid, you know, can't play fencing or squash or something. It's just, it's truly tremendous content.
All right, what is the best line in this? It has to be the mother of the kid who played 11 years of club lacrosse and her not having the realization that her kid's a scrub until it's too late.
Well, he, maybe not a scrub, but he's not a stallion.
I'm imagining her telling her kid that the other players are stallions.
Beasts.
They're beasts, Johnny. They're stallions.
You see Tommy over there? That kid's a stallion, Jimmy.
It reminded me, you guys watched It's Always Sunny, Ryan, especially like the billboard episode where they have like a modeling contest to see who's going to be on the billboard, and Dennis like tries to jump in, and then they made fun of Frank, and then so Frank just got some beefcake, as you call it, like just like really good looking muscular guys, and then he goes, it's like you wanted beefcake, I got stallions over here. And Dennis goes like, I'm a stallion. And Matt goes like, ooh, Dennis, really? He's like, listen, 5 years ago, that was a stallion. And then he just points to the other guy, but like, he's like, this here, this is a real stallion.
It's just, I don't know, the one, the armpit of America quote. It's just
trying to be polite.
It's trying to be polite. That's what makes it.
No way in hell.
If she didn't have the "I'm trying to be polite" part, it may be like number two or number three. But the "I'm trying to be polite" just puts it over the top. That's phenomenal.
And hey, right, so a new college lacrosse program can be yours for $20 million.
For the low price of $20 million.
I mean, again, like I don't want to call anyone out over this, but the just lacrosse Twitter in general over the last 7 months, you know, convincing themselves and talking themselves into actually lacrosse won't really be hurt by COVID, you know, for this the other reason, and then here's just buried in this one Atlantic article, it's just, here's how much money we need to start a college lacrosse program at Stanford. $20 million.
Yes, we did a whole podcast. Yes, we did a whole podcast on this glorious article.
Oh, we could have. If we really wanted to let rip, we could get like hours out of this. This is
just
phenomenal stuff.
Incredible content. Any last thoughts?
I guess we'll save everything else for another episode.
Yeah, so on the horizon, we'll have another episode in another week or two. We'll have some fun talking about lacrosse topics du jour. And I don't know, Halloween, I guess, even though it's not really much of a Halloween this year.
It is kind of wild though. Like, I mean, we're 4 months away from when like the normal season would start, and we really haven't heard a peep.
Yeah. Hey, this might be the year where Maryland drops their schedule on Christmas, and it's the first one that comes out rather than the last.
I mean, there are some teams who haven't even released like rosters yet. We're in mid October.
Yeah.
And like, teams haven't even released like rosters, and I mean, look, I guess the only sport playing right now is football, but
then you have like a really with the non-revenue sports, it's like a real odd hodgepodge of like, oh, the ACC and SEC have soccer, but nobody else does. Yeah.
That's what makes it so fascinating is like. Like, what the dynamic between, like, in lacrosse between, like, well, there's the Big Ten, who I guess will have them, and then there's the ACC, who I guess would play, because, like, they're just going to play. It's what they do. But then you've got, you know, schools in the CAA or whatever who, like, are most, you know, FCS football schools, and, like, they're not playing football. And it's like, what if they do play, like, what if they do play football in the spring? How does that affect it? And it's like, I don't even, like, no one even.
No one knows, yes. It's not like the Big Ten's really playing the non-revenue sports either. I think, is it only football that's making the comeback, or the non-revenue is coming back too this for the fall?
Pardon me. Let's see what soccer's going on in the Big Ten. I mean, they canceled it in August, so I guess they're only playing football.
Yeah, so we don't even know. We could just have 5 ACC teams playing, and that's the college lacrosse season. Who knows?
Syracuse would claim a national championship off of that, so...
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Hey, look, I mean... There was a college lacrosse season.
They are the defending national champions.
That is also true. That is also a correct point.
Won't hear any... I will not be hearing any complaints out of Ithaca or Princeton or Chapel Hill. Thank you.
Princeton doesn't even have a team. I don't know what Princeton could complain about. They don't.
Oh, I'm saying last year's title, the 2019 title, the 2020 title. I don't want to hear any complaints out of those three locations claiming Princeton's it's disputed like their UCF that one year because Reddit thought that they should have been national champions.
That's what you guys are doing. That's the role you guys have fulfilled. You have taken up the UCF role, just acting as if like you won the national championship, even though. Were they number one?
I mean, granted, in my poll, they were number two to Cornell after that week, but doesn't matter. My poll, everyone craps on anyway, so...
We had Cornell number one in our final ranking at the end of the year, and I remember it now. Like we had.
Were you also Jake? That was right. I know me, Adam, for sure. Were you the third one? I remember you put Cornell up.
I had Cornell one.
Then that was the third one. Yeah, I remember we were the one.
But
year.
Who cares?
It's coming home.
I blame the music.
Sorry, 3 weeks ago. Go read it and yell at me like one dude in the comments did about Maryland being number three. I think that's what he yelled at me about.
Yes, way too early top 20. If you enjoyed this episode...
Homerism at it. Here we go. Keep dreaming, Jake. Terps are a top three team with Bernhardt. Maybe a top 8 team without him.
Maybe
a top 8. Like, Maryland with Jared Bernhardt could win the national title. Without him, they may... You know...
They get home.
Maybe they'll make the NCAA tournament.
And, Safe and Chris, once again, are the only two people apparently in the United States in quarantine still. So they dropped a new episode of their the two of them chatting about everything going on in lacrosse and
gotta
elsewhere.
Gotta respect the virus, baby.
So, exactly. Got content.
Yeah, so check them out. Got that for years. You got 45 minutes of us riffing on a... article from The Atlantic, not to be confused with The Athletic. Remember that when, was it Jameem Hill was, said she was going to The Atlantic and everyone thought it was The Athletic?
Yeah, there's some just way too online person with like 24 followers mixes that up, and politics Twitter mixes that up like every week.
So, we'll have another episode in the next couple weeks. Who knows? Maybe we'll bring back the presidential candidates as lacrosse teams. Bit.
Look, the 2020 campaign has actually been kind of low-key, and you just want to ruin that by just, like, setting off a bomb in the mentions. if that's the hill you want to die on, sir, God bless, but not me.
Maybe not, but, we'll definitely chat. We have a very interesting concept. We're not going to give it away yet. But I think you'll all enjoy it.
We do?
Shh.
I we'll have to talk about this after. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, you do. It's your idea, remember? I'll just use Thanos as a code word.
Oh, yeah. Remember that now. Oh, yeah. That's crap. It's been a while, guys. You know,
it's okay.
I love the idea that Ryan is actually still playing the music and it's been playing for like 5 minutes.
No, the music's been off.
All right, take us out of here.
All right, so once again, follow us at college_cross. Thank you for listening. Subscribe on your favorite podcast outlet, and we'll catch you next time. Stay hydrated. Stay safe. See you around.
Thank you, Lynch for president.
Stallions.